I want to share just from a very familiar passage of Scripture, probably to all of us who have been here in the house, and maybe if you haven't been here in the house, it might sound familiar to you if maybe someone had a chance to share it with you, maybe growing up as a child, a parent, a grandmother, an aunt, or an uncle, or maybe if you were in the house before. But I believe God wants to share it with us tonight again, wants us to take a look at it again tonight. As I was praying about this evening, I couldn't get away from this story, and then when I began to hear the testimonies, I just knew God was wanting to speak something to our hearts. I want to speak to you about God's extended hand of mercy, just for a little bit, God's extended hand of mercy, and we heard that so powerfully in the testimonies, and I just, through the Word of God, want to confirm and put the exclamation point on what God is already saying to us by His Spirit. Luke chapter 15, Jesus begins to share a number of stories, a number of parables to illustrate a particular point. And the Bible says that as he began to share these parables, he began to share one story about a man who had two sons, and the youngest son came to his father and said, "I want my share of your estate. I want what I've got coming to me. I would like my inheritance now, if you please." And he said, I want it now, even before you die. And so his dad agreed and began to divide his wealth between his two sons. And the Bible says that the younger son, who had received his inheritance a few days later, began to pack all his belongings, and he moved to a distant land, and he began to waste all his money on wild living. And some of us know what that's all about. Some of us know what it's like to live wildly, to go and begin to spend all our resources, all that we are, all that we have, all our energy, all our finances, if you will, our emotions, our person, on wild living. And about this time, his money ran out. A great famine swept the land, and he began to starve. He began to starve, and this speaks obviously of a physical condition, but I think of the emptiness that so many of us knew and experienced when we were in the world, when we were far from God, that emptiness in our souls. And the scripture says he began to starve, and he persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when finally his senses came to him, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and yet here I am starving. I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" And so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And I love that picture. Filled. Somebody say filled. Filled with love and compassion, he ran. Somebody say ran. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son said, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But his father said to his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. We've got to kill the fatted calf, the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this my son who was dead has now returned to life, and he who was lost has now been found." So the party began. I love this story. What an incredible picture. Now, I began to think, how does this relate to you and I in this day and age? Well, you see, the Bible tells us that you and I were created by God for a purpose. The Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 3 says this: He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he did not himself make. You were created by God, for a purpose. You were not a fluke or an accident. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and he, God, gave you life. Even if you came as a result of a rape or some unexpected, unwanted pregnancy, God had a plan for your life. That's why you are still alive today. You may have wondered, where did I come from? Why am I here? Is this all there is to life? Where am I going? God had a plan for you. Jeremiah, a very familiar passage of scripture in the Word of God, says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You were given life by God for a divine purpose. But just like this story, you didn't see the value of the life in God or in his house. And now you find yourself feeding the pigs. Now, what does that mean? Well, like this boy, you set out looking for love, peace, joy, satisfaction, apart from the Heavenly Father and his house. I think of when I was growing up, I was raised going to the Catholic Church, and I was taught to believe in God. But I at some particular point, I stopped going to church because I felt like I was going in and walking out the same, and I was not satisfied, and I had this itch that I couldn't scratch. And so I remember going to college to pursue my career. And while I was in college, I chose to not go to church anymore. I wanted to go my own way, do my own thing. And I remember I just began trying different things. And one of the things I began trying out was bodybuilding. In high school, I had started smoking weed, and that didn't satisfy. And so I started playing basketball, and I was playing for one of the top programs in the nation, and that didn't satisfy. And from there, I went to college, and I started bodybuilding, hoping that that would satisfy. Maybe through some relationship or something, I would find some sort of satisfaction. And even in the relationships, I was still empty. Even though I was bodybuilding, I was still empty. And I mean, I was serious. I used to compete on stage. And you might look at me now and think, God, no way. But see, that's what Jesus does. He changes us. I'm not what I used to be. And folks, even in the midst of that, relationships and all this stuff, I was still empty. I was still empty. I couldn't scratch that itch. I couldn't fill that void, as we heard tonight. But God had another plan for my life. He came and found me in the midst of my emptiness, in the midst of my misery, in the midst of the longing in my soul for purpose and direction. He came and he found me and he saved me. Hallelujah. And it's been 23 years I've been walking with Jesus, and I haven't looked back since. There's no reason to. Hallelujah. Now, you may have thought to yourself, or maybe tonight you came thinking to yourself, I want to be this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to join this cause or pursue this career, or if I could just impress these people, I will go places. And you put church aside. So you get that new job, or that stuff, or that new girl or guy, or that new car or that new house. But where does that leave you? You squandered and wasted the life you've been given, and now you're distant and far from God, the one who created you from the very beginning and gave you life and had a purpose and a plan for you. Isaiah puts it this way: all of us have strayed away like sheep. We've all left God's paths to follow our own. And ultimately, this is what sin is. It's living independently from God. It's making a choice to act contrary to God's law and to live contrary to his commands. Isaiah also said, it's our iniquities that have separated us. Isaiah the prophet, that have separated us, that have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Only to end up feeding the pigs. A pig was considered unclean and the vilest of animal in Jewish culture. This young man found himself feeding the lowest things that exist in nature. There are some here today that find themselves feeding the lowest things of nature, the lowest things of the human nature. You're feeding a lust or uncontrolled passion, anger or grudge, violence or rage, bitterness or some filth, some bad habit, if you will. You're visiting peep shows or porn sites on the internet. Or maybe you followed the empty lights into a Broadway show like we heard tonight, or a movie theater. Or maybe you're sticking a needle in your arm. Or maybe you've gone on a date and gave up your virginity to someone who you most likely will never see again. They made you all these empty promises only to break your heart. I think of tonight all the celebrities that we see in the news whose lives are a mess. They're not happy. All you have to do is pick up People magazine or one of those magazines, and all you see is divorce, drugs, alcohol, infidelity, tons of money with fancy cars, big houses, and empty smiles. They go from one relationship to another. They are in the pig pen, if you will, feeding the pigs. This boy, while in that place, became so hungry. And some here tonight are so hungry because, see, that stuff does not satisfy. The scripture says, but no one gave him anything. And that's the way the world is. I began to think about that. You can try to get counseling. You can go to this therapist or that therapist or this doctor or that doctor. Or you can do like so many are trying to do in this generation, in this day and age, sedate themselves, getting medicated. But they can't help you. See, because your need tonight, in this case, is spiritual. See, when God created you, he created you in his image. The Bible says that you and I are soul, body, and spirit. And unless that spiritual need, that spiritual side is met, you'll never be whole. You'll never be complete. I was thinking this past week about a young lady who was shared her testimony with me, and she said, I was angry, confused, and full of hate. She said, my father was in jail all my life, and something happened where I began to feel responsible for my mother's car accident that left her handicapped and brain damaged. She said, I turned to alcohol and sex every time I felt empty inside, which was often. She said, I knew there was a God, but I didn't believe he would help me. She said, I was violent, involved with gangs, yet the emptiness was still there in my heart. She said, finally, I moved to New York because I felt like this was the first step to change. I could never really understand why I wanted to go so bad, but it was real heavy on my heart as if it were my plan from the very beginning. You see, her sister lived in New York. And so she came to New York and began to live with her sister. And she asked her sister, are you going to make me go to church? Because her sister used to come here to Times Square Church. And her sister said, no, it's your choice. It's your choice. But her sister was strong in the Lord and began to encourage her. And she thought it was going to be boring, but then when she came on a Friday night to the youth meeting, she immediately fell in love with all the people and the testimonies that she would hear of just lives like the ones we heard tonight that were transformed and incredibly changed by the power of God. And she said, one night I heard part of a testimony at one of the services, and I could so relate to it, and I broke down and I began to ask God for forgiveness, and I cried out to God. And she said, at first, it was a strange thing, you know, but I cried out to God. I began to cry out to Him, and in the end, I felt so relieved. She says, since I asked for forgiveness and repented and accepted Christ into my life, I've been happy. That is something truly new to me. I didn't feel empty anymore. I feel as if I had purpose and God had a plan specifically for me, and now I want to follow the path He has laid out for me and continue to grow closer to Him spiritually. Hallelujah. She said, I began to read the Bible every night with my sister, and I would try to pray and remember to pray every morning to start my day. And she says, when my sister was too tired to read, I'd make her stay up and listen to me read. Because I was so hungry for Jesus and hungry to know more about this God who so loved me. Folks, God is a good God. I said, God is a good God. He satisfies the longing soul. Tonight, the Bible says that this young man came to his senses and he went home. He went home. Where was home, I ask you tonight? In the presence of his father, of course. This is home, folks. In the presence of the one who created you, who formed you, who knows you, who so is acquainted with you, the Bible says he's gone through the trouble of numbering every hair on your head. God's presence is home for you and I. Your inheritance awaits you. His father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. As the father ran to meet the lost son, so God, as a heavenly father, is here today running to meet you as you come out of your seats to the front of this church, which we call an altar. It's a place where you and I meet with God and we give our all to Him and we acknowledge that we need Him and we accept His help, His love, and His forgiveness. His father gave him what he could never possess on his own or be able to obtain in his own strength. I like this. It says his father gave him a robe, and that robe represented a covering to cover his shame and to take away his sin. It represented forgiveness and right standing with his father. But not only that, his father gave him a ring, and the ring represented authority to walk in victory over life-controlling habits. Do you know there's freedom from alcohol tonight? There's freedom from fits of rage tonight. There's freedom from cigarettes tonight. There's freedom from pornography tonight. There's freedom from suicidal thoughts tonight. There's freedom from fear tonight. There's freedom from despair tonight. There is freedom from loneliness tonight. There's freedom in God. Freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in Him tonight. Victory over life-controlling habits and access to the inheritance that his father had left him. New shoes represented a commission, a purpose for being, to do the work of the kingdom and to take care of his father's business. And the Bible says afterwards there was a celebration with music and dancing. There was a party thrown. Do you know the Bible says that when you and I turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, that the angels of God strike up their instruments and begin to party, because you, God's creation, who was once lost, have now been found. A celebration for you. You. Hallelujah. When you give complete control to Jesus Christ, inviting him to be Lord of every area of your life, you will discover the answer to life's questions. You will experience true purpose, the true purpose for which he created you. Some people think that Christianity is boring, but that's not what God meant it to be. That's not what God intended at all. Religion is dead, it's dry, and it's boring. But to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is the greatest privilege and adventure you could ever experience. Hallelujah. And I can tell you tonight, from the time I gave my life to Jesus, it's been everything except boring. I've traveled and had the privilege to see God move all over the world in so many places. And it's been an incredible journey. And tonight I want to ask you a question. Have you had enough? Have you realized yet there is nothing out there in the world? Only Christ can give you life. Only Jesus satisfies. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, all over this house, here on the main floor, in the annex, up in the balcony? I would like to give an invitation for those who are here tonight, maybe even for the very first time. And you've heard what's been spoken tonight. You've heard the songs that have been sung. You've heard the word of God that has been shared, and something in you says, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been looking for. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. This is what I've been searching for. I want you to raise your hand right now, unashamedly, all over this place. Join those whose hands are going up all over this house, here in the main floor, up in the balcony. God sees those hands. Tonight, he knows the longing of your soul. He knows your cry. You can put your hand down tonight. Maybe you've come in here and you're backslidden. Maybe you once walked with the Lord, but you've drifted away. You've drifted away and you've grown cold and you've forsaken the house. Or maybe you're still here in the house, but your heart is gone. And you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to invite you, along with those who raise their hands, to join me at the front of this church, and we're going to pray together, and God is going to do a miracle in your life tonight. Let's stand all over this place, quietly and reverently. Those of you who've raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat and join me here at the front, and we're going to pray together. We're going to worship first, and then we're going to pray together. This is your night for a miracle. This is your night for a life-changing experience. The Holy Spirit is here. He's going to change you. He's going to transform you tonight in the name of Jesus. He's going to cancel every assignment over your life. Every assignment that hell has had from the very beginning to destroy mankind, to destroy you, is going to be canceled tonight in the name of Jesus. God's going to bring healing to your family through you. You are going to become a channel of blessing to this generation, because of the power of God, which is going to infiltrate your life tonight in Jesus' name as we worship. Tonight, you come not to a God who's angry at you, not to a God who despises you, but to a God who's filled with love and compassion. You see, he poured out his wrath against your sin and mine on his son, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled to him, so that we could have a new life. So you come to a God tonight that loves you. And if you ever want to see a picture of that love, all you have to do is look to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you know how much he loved you, because he made a choice to come to earth, to take on human form, to go about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed, so that we would know what this God is really like, and then to spread his arms on a cross to show you how much he loves you. So tonight, you need to know that God does care about everything in your life. And he is going to transform you. He's going to change you. He's going to give you a new life. That's what you're going to get tonight. Your old life will pass away and a new life will begin. You get a fresh start in Christ tonight. I want you to raise both your hands as a sign of surrender to him. And I just want to lead you in a simple prayer of repentance, a prayer of acknowledging that you need him, that you invite him to come in and to take complete control and to forgive you for all the wrong things you've done. And if you pray from your heart, God will hear you tonight and he will forgive you and you will become his child. Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, tonight I've heard a message that you love me, that you gave your life so that I might have eternal life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm tired of going at this on my own. I invite you to come in and to take complete control. Forgive me, God, for all the wrong things I've done. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you from this moment on. I believe you died and rose again for this very reason. And now tonight, I accept and receive your free offer of forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so. I believe I am right now forgiven and a child of God in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgiven. Forgiven. You are forgiven in the name of Jesus. You need to know tonight that your name has been written down in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And that you are now a child of God. And now that you have given him your life, his spirit has come on the inside. And he's going to change you from the inside out. So the adventure begins. Walking with God in the purpose that he created you for from the very beginning. God is going to empower you by his spirit every day as you depend on him. He is going to empower you to walk with him. And so now this relationship begins, where you and God communicate. Relationships are based on communication, right? So you pray and you talk to God. But he's going to talk to you. You know how he's going to talk to you? Through the scriptures, through the Bible. So you make sure you get a very easy, up-to-date translation so you can understand. Not Old English. You can get Old English if you can understand that. But if you can't, when I first started walking with the Lord, I didn't understand the these and the thous and the therefores and all these things. I didn't understand. So I got a very easy translation for myself. But then eventually I was able to understand the King James after much prayer and fasting. Along with my poetry class that I was failing at the time. I was able to understand the Old English, and then I grew to love the Old English as well. But you get a very easy translation that you can understand, and you begin to read it and ask God to speak to you, and he's going to show you who he is day by day as you walk with him. And he's going to provide for you and protect you and love on you. And he wants you to come to church and worship him and love on him as well. Amen.